Okay, so in we're talking about when meat and milk mix, but not necessarily being cooked on the stove, right? What do you learn that the primary way that meat and milk become also is when they're cooked together in a fire? What about if they mix? You have hot milk, hot meat, or cold milk, cold meat. We talked about that last week. If they touch, wash them off. This week we're talking about what happens if you have meat and milk, they're off the fire, but they touch each other and they're both hot. Or one of them is hot. So if they're both hot, the halacha is, let's say you have a bowl of hot milk and you have a piece of hot meat and they fall into each other, and even if it's off the fire, the whole thing becomes asur. Okay? Now you'll tell me, well, it's not on the fire. But that's a klal that Kli Rishon cooks. So if they're both hot, they cook. Or if you have a piece of hot meat and the hot milk falls on it, okay, from a Kli Rishon also, it cooks and it's asur. If they're both hot, it's usher completely, and it's usher ba'ana, and everything like that. It's like it's cooked together. It has the halacha as if it was cooked together. So that's pretty obvious. The question that we're going to talk about is what happens when one is hot and one is cold. Okay? And the case that we're going to talk about is when one is hot and one is cold, and you put one on top of the other. So let's say you have a slice of cheese on your counter, and you didn't see it, and you took off, some sort of meat, and you put it onto that piece of cheese. Or you have a hot piece of meat on your plate and some milk squirts onto that chicken. So is that us or is that not us, or what's the status? So we have a Gemara in Pesachim, a few lines from the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, that the Gemara, I'm just going to read it inside. The Gemara in Pesachim says, Cham l'soich tzoynin. So the top line, I'm not vavam and alf. Tzoynin l'soich tzoynin divrakol motor. Cham l'toich tzoynin v'tzoynin l'toich cham. So let's say you have hot goes into cold or cold goes into hot. Rav Omar, Rav says, ilo agavar. Rav says, whichever one is on top wins. Ushmul amar ta'ata agavar. And Shmuel says, whichever one is on the bottom wins. So what does it mean, gavar or not gavar? So if you hold like Rav, the top one wins. So if you have the bottom is cold, let's just take a piece of a slice of cheese with a piece of chicken, with a piece of meat. Keep it simple. So if the slice of cheese is cold and the piece of meat is hot, according to Rav, the piece of meat on top wins, and therefore it will heat up the cheese, and now the cheese will be hot enough in order to give the entire flavor of the cheese will go through the entire piece of meat, and the entire flavor that's in the meat will go through the entire piece of cheese, and both of them will be completely asur. If the cheese was hot and the meat was cold, then the meat cools off the cheese, and then the cheese does not have the koach to give flavor into the meat, and the meat doesn't have the koach to give the flavor into the cheese. That's Rav. Shmuel Omar, no, Tata Gavar. Shmuel says Tata Gavar, the bottom one, Tata Gavar, the bottom one wins. So that means, the bottom one wins means that we can move this table up a little bit. Watch those firm. Okay. You can move up if you want to move up. Okay. So And Shmuel says that the bottom one wins. So if the slice of cheese was hot and the piece of meat was cold, so then according to Shmuel, you go by the bottom one. Okay, so the Gemara brings a few rayas back and forth. Okay, so I just want to see in the bottom of the page, the Gemara brings. Who do we go like? We have two brises, and both brises support Shmuel. So in this case, we pass them like Shmuel. Although normally, in these types of cases, we pass them like Rav. But here we pass them like Shmuel, that the bottom one wins. Now, the Gemara brings, very importantly, that at the end, that even though we pass them like Shmuel, but there's still a halacha like this. If you have the Gemara, it's Tanya Idach. It's the fifth wide line. So Tanya Idach, Basar Reisach. You have boiling hot meat. Shenafel Techolav Reisach. That fell into cold, boiling hot milk. So it's also V'chein Tzoynin. Even if the meat was cold, Shenafel Tzoycham. But it fell into boiling hot milk. Asar. It's both Asar. Cham, why? Because Tatagavar, the bottom one wins. Cham L'Tech Tzoynin, V'Tzoynin L'Tech Tzoynin, Meidiach. So, frek the Gemara Kasha. Cham l'toich tzoynin. If the meat is hot and the milk is cold, and the bottom one wins, so that means that the bottom one cools off the top one to the point that the top one cannot no longer give flavor into the bottom one. Frek the Gemara Kasha that klipa mi ani boya. Why is it enough to wash it off? You should need to do klipa. And this klipa is basically the sort of the sugya. Klipa means you got to take off the front layer, the lowest level peel of the food you got to take off. Why? Because ela ema chamo tekzoin and koylev. You have to take it off. Why? Because admekar lei efshad le balaporta. The milk, we're saying, is cold. And it cools off the meat to the point that the meat cannot give flavor into the milk, and that the milk cannot, and it cannot accept flavor from the milk. But it takes time for the milk to cool off the power of the meat. The meat is very hot. So during that time that it takes for the milk to cool off the meat, probably the meat was still hot enough to give a little bit of flavor into the milk, and the milk was a little bit hot enough to give flavor into the meat. And that amount of flavor that went in is very, very minuscule, and it only goes in kadei klipa. It only goes in mamash on the very, very, very surface of the meat, which is called klipa. Okay? So there's three things. There's four things, really. There's one thing called mediach. Mediach means you just wash it off because it didn't go in. So it stayed on the outside, you could wash it off. There's something called the klipa. It went in a little bit. Now, the amount that went in is just a very, very thin peel, and that's it. There's something else called netila, which we'll learn later in Kuf Hei and other places. Kedei netila means like amount of a finger, well?
About an inch or so.
You got to peel off an inch. And then the kedei kulai, where it goes in all of it. Okay, we didn't talk about netila now, I'm just throwing it out there. So klipa means you just got to shave off a little bit. Why? Because we do assume that some flavor went in because one of them was hot. It's not like they're both cold. So therefore, it goes in kedei klipa. All right?
Klipa's an inch?
No, klipa is just a surface layer. So you could use some sort of brush and brush off the surface, and that's enough. Okay? Now, this is the halacha. And I want to give an introduction to the halacha. It's really after the whole sugya. But what everyone asks when they learn this sugya is that what type of machlekes is this? Ooh. I don't understand.
Go check.
Well, go figure it out. You hold like you have a piece of cold cheese. You have a piece of hot meat, and they fell on each other. Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Which one is hot now? Go touch it. What do you need a science? What do you need this whole sugya for? Go right after you're finished. Touch the meat. Touch the cheese. If it's still hot, so then it's hot. If it's cold, it's cold. What's this whole sugya talking about? The Primogodim, really, if you look in the Primogodim, the Primogodim asks a little differently. He says, why can't you taste it, the food, which is the sugya later, if you could taste the food to see where the blia went. And Hitaka says you could, maybe. But what exactly is the yisoid of this whole sugya? You know, is it cold? Is it hot? What's going on in the whole sugya? So, I'm going to say over the Chavos Da'as is Mahalach, which we learned yesterday. Chavos Da'as is the Nesivos HaMishpat. In Chashem Mishpat, it's known as the Nesivos. But he was really known in Europe when he was alive. He's alive as the Baal Chavos Da'as. If you look in the Kedamot HaChashem Mishpat, it says, Pirish Nesivos HaMishpat, Baal Chavos Da'as. Like, he was known in the world as the Chavos Da'as. So, in the yeshivas, they know him much more nowadays as the Nesivos HaMishpat. But the he's in the back. It's in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the way back. It's printed separately. It's in Sadi Aleph of Katan Hay. I'm not going to read it inside, but you could underline it, and if you have time to go through it, it's a much a beautiful piece. He asks a few simple questions. He says, "How can you tell me we paskin Tata Gavar? So we paskin like Shmuel that the bottom one wins." So he says, I have a very simple question. So you have a piece of meat, okay, and then you have a brick of cheese. Okay, so now, you have a piece of meat, very hot piece of meat. Then you put on it a brick of cheese, which is cold. Katogavar, the whole piece of cheese is cold. First of all, so he says, the whole piece of cheese is hot, and the whole piece of cheese is also. So he says, now you put another piece of meat on top of that brick of cheese. So then you can say, Tatogavar Vaita, because the piece of cheese is hot now. Since the piece of cheese is hot now, even if I'm going to put a cold piece of meat on top of that brick of cheese, now that piece of meat is also going to be Aser Kulai, because the haloi, the piece of meat, the piece of cheese just got hot. And second of all, he says, how's that possible? And touch it, it's not Yatzaladisbo. So he says, even if you would have something on a flame, and you put them on outside. It's not hot. What are we saying? And then he asks another bam kasha. So he said, that doesn't make sense. And then he asks another kasha. He says, let's say you have a boiling hot pot, right, on the flame. It's called klirishin. You take it off the flame, and you put it on your counter. So it's still a klirishin, right? The halacha is, if you have that boiling hot pot off the flame, sitting on your counter, then you pour something in it, right? The fleisha kachalant on your counter, and then milk goes in. Treif, 100%, awesome. So he says, but l'chayra, you put that pot on the counter. The counter was cold. Tatagavar. The counter should have cooled off the whole pot now. Tatagavar. Right?
Don't you say about 2 minutes
ago? So the bottom one cools it off. So he says a very, very important fundamental principle over here. He says the issue, what?
Can I answer both questions? Because the whole din is based on klirishon, right? So if you put a burka cheese on top of that, that's no longer klirishon.
No, but that doesn't make a difference. Even two pieces not in the klirishon, we're saying tatar gavar. Right?
Even if it was
Remaining? It's hot. It's a hot piece of meat. So he says like this. This is a very, very important principle that he uses here. He uses it in Sadi Beis. He uses it in a few places. Okay, so I'm going to say this, and then after that, we're going to add on to him a little knetch. He says that there's no question between Rav and Shmuel if it got hot or not got hot. Okay, go touch it, and you'll find out Yatzel Edzbo. It's not Yatzel Edzbo. Everyone knows what the temperature of the meat or the chicken or the cheese is. That's not the sugya here. He says that, and therefore, of course, if you put a brick of cheese, no one's claiming that it got hot. So what's the shaila? And therefore, of course, as far as the status of the brick of cheese or the pot that you put on the counter is, independently, of course, it is what it is. If it's a klirishon, it's a klirishon. It's a brick of cheese, cold, whatever. And no one's saying it got hot. And no one's saying it got cold. The shaila is, it's a shaila, very specific shaila, about the power of blias. Which direction do they go? When you have something blias, or a relationship between two things, so each one is trying to give its flavor into the other one, and trying to protect itself from outside flavor, because, this piece of me, I'm a piece of cheese, I'm interested in your flavor, right? So each one is its own independent thing, and the nature is it gives off the flavor to something else. So in the relationship between the hot one and the cold one, which one wins? In the relationship between the hot one and the cold one, which one wins? There's no zeh, it's two dry pieces. Which one wins? So when you have the piece of brick of cheese and the piece of meat, if you hold tata gavar, then the piece of meat is going to be hot enough that it'll be able to pass all of its blias into the entire brick of cheese. And the brick of cheese will give all the blias, because the control of the koach of blias is controlled by the bottom one. But now you're going to go ahead, and no one said it got hot, so now you're going to go put that brick of cheese and put another piece of meat on top of it, so now it's cold. So cold, that's going to win the relationship between the next one. It didn't actually get hot, and therefore it's not a sugya of what it is, it's just a sugya of between these two, where does the blias go? And therefore he says a huge chiddush, and therefore you have a piece of, you have a pot, and you put the pot on the counter. So we're going to say tata gavar. And even if it's a treif counter, or let's say you had a little slice of cheese, and you put the chalent pot on top of the slice of cheese, we're going to say that the bottom klipa of the chalent pot became treif. Right? But we're not going to say now, oh, well, it's a klisheni, and it's not mavashal. You can't go ahead and pour cold water into that pot on Shabbos, because it's still cooking. Right? Because in and of itself, it's still independently still hot. We're not redefining it itself. We're just defining the relationship between these two things. Okay, so now he says another chiddush based on this. Very, very important chiddush for a lot of halachas. He says the sugya of tata gavar and ila gavar has nothing to do with bishul. It's not a sugya of cooking on Shabbos. It's only a sugya of how the bliyas go. And this is a very, very important chiluk, okay? There's a yisuristic chiluk for the whole basa b'chalav. That there's two separate sugyas. There's a sugya of how do you cook. Klirishin, klisheni. There's also how things cook and what level of heat you need to cook. There's another sugya of blias, of how does flavor transfer. not necessarily does every way the flavor transfer equal to cooking. For example, maliach. You could salt things together. Salting things together, that we're going to learn next week or whatever, that salting two things together, the flavor goes in from one to the other. But it doesn't mean that you can't salt two things together on Shabbos. Maybe you could, maybe you can't. It's a separate issue. But could be you could salt things together on Shabbos. It's not called cooking. So therefore, even if you say that in Tata Gavar, okay, so I'm going to put I have this hot piece of meat, I put this brick of cheese, and we're going to say the whole brick of cheese got the flavor from the meat. It could be you didn't cook it on, it's not chayv cooking on Shabbos. Because if it didn't get out to Ledesbo, you never cooked it.
The cheese got infected, the whole brick?
The whole brick is infected, for sure. That's Tata Gavar. The flavor goes through the whole brick. But
it's
the,
not you're touching, it's cold.
It's cold as anything. And therefore, could be you're not chayv on Shabbos. You didn't cook it. But cooking has nothing to do with blias. So even if the brick of cheese is cold to the touch, it's still considered got it that the entire thing is full of fleshig blias.
So why does it matter if either one is hot? It should be Tata Gavar, should be either if it's not or not.
No, if there's no heat, then there's no mechanism to transfer the blias. The question is, the heat from the bottom one is enough to control the relationship between the two of them, and now the blias will go from the bottom through the whole top.
Didn't we say in the sif last week that you have things that touch each other?
Right, but they're cold. That they're cold, but these are both...
Problem, no?
They're cold, but this is hot.
Right, but it's still a problem over there by cold, so...
No, it's not. You gotta wash it off.
Right, you still wash it off.
No, but here's hot, so if we put the blias in the whole brick...
Isn't the temperature more significant than the location?
No, that's what we're saying, is that you could have something which is... So this is a riddle question. How do you have something which is freezing cold, and yet it got totally treif? The answer is, it was on top of something hot. So if it was on top of something hot, then the heat from the bottom one is able to transfer all of its flavor into the top one.
Does that mean...
That's the chiddush of this sugya.
Does that mean we don't even care what the size is? You have a small piece
okay,
of...
Okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan says that's a whole sugya tata gavar, and it's only if the bottom one is bigger than the top one. But, because otherwise you can have a minuscule, you have a little piece of meat on the counter and you put a whole pot on it, oh, tata gavar. Now, l'maisa, everyone argues on the Aruch HaShulchan now. So he says, the Aruch HaShulchan thing is a pella, you can't say that and it doesn't make sense. But this is the major yesoid of the Chavis Das in this sugya, is that this is not a sugya of Bishul. You did not actually cook that brick of cheese. The brick of cheese is cold. And therefore, in Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, because on it could be davar gush, and it could be that a part of it will get hot. But let's say you put it on and none of it got hot, even the part that's touching the it didn't get hot to the touch, so you weren't chayiv for Shabbos. It doesn't matter. The entire thing is infected, as you called it, with basar b'chalav in it. The whole thing.
Similar to the maker, though, the Gemara's answer.
No, because it does.
If
you go the other way around? No. The maker on LA means if the top one is hot, it cools off its ability to give blias. It becomes cold to gabi this relationship. But
why doesn't it transfer the gabi with be in that beast?
What do you mean?
Once, let's say I take a hot item, a hot piece of meat, let's say a hot, fatty piece of meat, and I put it down on a piece of cheese. That piece of cheese is cold. So now, at least the cleat.
Okay, that's Rabbi Kiviger's kasha and Sadi Vav. That's the famous Rabbi Kiviger's kasha. But that's just complicated kasha, because in a nesa yachalesa yes and that's a little complicated question.
If the positions were reversed, it wouldn't transfer?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the sugya here. That's the sugya here, that's Rav and Shmuel, and we pass like Shmuel that the bottom one controls the traffic. Like I used to, like I said to Mechavar, in Lakewood Yeshiva, there was a parking lot. To get into everyone that's been there in the old building, there was this gravel parking lot that the driveway was like this wide. Basically, so let me say it's two ways. It's one way both ways. You could only fit one car in, but there was never whoever was there first that would determine where the traffic was.
It's like 173rd Street in front of Sackwood's house.
Right, it's like you know. Besides the fact that everyone double parked and left their keys in the car, and so one time the police came was like, you know, so for some like. Suspected. So Rabbi Cutler, Rabbi Aaron Cutler, took them to the parking lot, and he said, "Go look over here. Every single car has a key still in ignition, because if I'm parked in a way that you can't get out, just move my car, move my car and leave. So all the cars have the key still in the ignition." And he said, "There was never once in 50 years that anyone stole the car." So, but But okay, so this is one way, both ways. It only goes one way. The question is, who's determining where it goes? Okay, now. So it goes. If it's cold, so it only asks for the klipa.
Mar's kasha, the klipa, it seems to be a mitzvah of the kasha. Mar's saying, very nice the sagava, but even if you tell me the bottom one wins out, it's still.
Well, that's what you're asking. At the maker, like, no. But the point is that you have to have a koach of heat in the relationship. So even if the cold one protects itself and doesn't allow the hot one to do anything to it, and fakir, the gabi, this relationship, it cools it off. It says that you can't use your heat to overcome my thing, but still, it's going to be able to accept a kdei klipa in it. That's what it's saying, according to him.
Instead of picking the best side of both, meaning, fine, so then if it's cold on the top, then it's cold on the top. Why?
No, this is his yesoid, what he's saying here. It's negiah to a million things in the sugya, and it comes out, otherwise this is also what he says. You know, there's a chumra in Shabbos. People hack around about if you can put ketchup on a hot potato from the cholent. Why? Because the hot potato from the cholent, even though it's on a klisheni, or klishishi even, but davar gush, have everyone heard that term, davar gush? Davar gush means a solid piece of, something solid retains its own heat, regardless of which kli it's in. So if you have a potato, it doesn't matter if it's in the pot that it was in, you move it, every time you move it, it still retains its heat. So there's a whole thing, if you have a potato, boiling hot potato from the chalent on your plate, it could be that it was in a klishlishi already, right? Because it was in the pot, then in the bowl, and then on your plate. Still, some say you're not allowed to, you know, put ketchup on it, or Ramosh has a tshuva. If you can put ketchup on it, you mix it in with your coleslaw, you know, like the yeshivish chalent with coleslaw mix over there, so you're allowed to do that. So, the question is, the potato is on the plate. The plate is cold. Tatagavar. So according to this, no, the davar gush doesn't do tatagavar. The koyach of the davar gush to cook is independent of the tatagavar. The tatagavar means the potato can't trafen up the plate, maybe. Or if the plate is trafe, only a clip of the potato will become trafe. But the potato is still hot. And therefore, one has nothing to do with the other, okay? Now, based on this, is this clear so far? That this is not determining the temperature of it, and therefore it's not determining the koch of bishul of the brick of cheese. It's just determining how much the blias can go. So based on this, I'm going to say a chiddush. This is very important. We learned last week. I have a question. We learned in the very first week that the only time you ever have basa b'chalav d'oraisa is if the milk and the meat are cooked together, right? So let's say I have liquefied meat. Okay, I took meat, I put it into the milkshake. I have liquefied meat, okay, and I have milk. And I pour them into each other, mix it up, okay? Is that deraisa or derabanan? It's derabanan.
It's
cold. It's derabanan, even though it's one cup of milk that has in the milk and meat. It's right? It's derabanan, right? Yeah? Okay. So what about tatagavar? You have a piece of meat, and you have a brick of cheese. Now, that brick of cheese, we're saying, has in it, it's fully infected with basa b'chalav. The flavor of the meat went through the entire brick. Is that brick of cheese de'araisa basa b'chalav, or de'rabanan basa b'chalav? Okay, you're saying it's clearishon, it's bishul. No, but according to, okay, that's what you want to tie now. So I think you learned the sugya, you think, It's a clearishon or whatever. It has a koach of passing the blias through heat. So this is not the case of the milkshake, because the milkshake was cold, like you just asked. It's cold. This is working through heat. If it's working through heat, it's deraisa. It's not kiveger, it's derabanan over here. Why? Because you didn't actually cook the brick of cheese. The whole thing that we're saying with the chavos daas, there was no bishul here. The brick of cheese is ice cold still. So you never got it hot. So how did the flavor go in? Nu chiddush, tatagavar. Tatagavar has the ability to use the heat of the kli to pass its blias through and infect the entire brick of cheese. But the brick of cheese was never cooked with the meat. So therefore, Zaktub Kiveger, the entire basa b'chalav in tatagavar is derabanan. It's not derabanan. It's not deraisa. There was no real cooking here. It was not a real cooking. Now, the Chavos daas does add, if anyone learned the Gemara, past the place where I made the brackets. I did not bracket off this part, so you're not held accountable for this piece. But the Gemara does say there that if a drip of the roitiv, of the Korban Pesach, you have a Korban Pesach roasting, and a drip of the Korban Pesach juice fell onto a piece of cheres, pottery, and then that piece of cheres now with ilogavar, according to Rav, that piece of cheres got hot, and it went ahead and cooked that piece of roitiv. That roitiv now becomes treif, because on Pesach, the Korban Pesach has to be roasted from fire. It can't be roasted from something which is heated from the fire. It's got to be roasted directly from fire. So all the juice of the Korban Pesach has the same halacha. It has to be cooked and heated up from the fire. So this got heated up from the koach of the cheres. Okay, so Makash is, according to Chavis Das, hold on, the cheres can't cook the roitiv because the cheres never really got hot. So Chavis Das does say, he says, if Yilog Gavar Taka worked, and it worked enough that a Taka got it hot, it would get it hot enough, Mikarech Kliri, it would be considered a Klirishin Dekahit that could now cook. So that Gemara is talking about, what? That Gemara is talking about the case that the Cheres Taka got hot, enough to cook. And that's what the Gemara is talking about. But normally, the Birka Cheese didn't get hot, we're talking.
Right, the
Chavis Das.
You're saying in
yeah.
the case where it's cold, the work
it still
will
work.
Clear.
Exactly. Exactly.
It doesn't mean Lafuki, it can't get hot, you haven't cooked it clearly.
Exactly.
The bottom of the cheese theoretically.
It theoretically could be, but maybe not. It depends. You would have to feel the bottom of the cheese. If the bottom of the brick got yatsuledis, it would be deraisadik. If the bottom of the cheese did not get yatsuledis, it wouldn't be deraisa. The top of the brick of cheese, remember, the brick of cheese could be this tall.
I was going to say, the same reason maybe we were saying before.
Right?
That
You could have a 12-inch tall brick of cheese, and the top is just as straight as the bottom.
It's the same reason remember we were saying that is considered... Potentially,
also on Shabbos,
because
correct. If the bottom got cooked, the taka got hot, we're going to say that heat is a bishul tikka heat, and therefore that level of bishul taka is going to be deraisa, but the top is not. Okay, I'm spending a long time on speaking it out outside. Usually, we try to read the because I think a lot of people don't understand this whole sugya. Like, what's going on over here? Is it cold? Is it hot? Touch it. So the Chavis Das, I think, is gevaldik clarity. In exactly what the sugya is, and it's also negiah to a lot of sugyas in Shas, benegiah Shabbos, and benegiah other places. Okay, and it's very fundamental because we're going to use this later on.
Next week you can like make a makom and put
the Chavis Das itself,
underline
the Chavis Das, right? Okay. So, okay, and the other thing is going
to
be that.
Don't you need heat?
So that's what we're saying.
Like property la halacha.
No, so the it's true that the bottom one is klirishin dekahit. The bottom one is klirishin dekahit.
But there's no klirishin dekahit that's transferring. The
right, that's
the,
no.
You don't have
so it, there's no. So you have klirishin dekahit transferring the bleias, even though the recipient did not become hot. That's the chiddush of the sugya. Is that the heat?
The heat
is able to transfer the bleias into the other one, even if the other one doesn't become hot. You don't have to be hot to get the bleias. You have to be hot. It has to be hot in the transferring of the bleias. That transferring of the bleias has to be controlled by heat. Now let's go the other way around. Let's say the bottom, the brick of cheese is on the bottom and it's cold. And then you put this, you know, brisket on top. So we're going to say is that the brick of cheese remained cold. And even if it got hot, it wouldn't theoretically matter. And only the kedei klipa of both become usser. So the bottom, just the point of contact, it's not enough to wash it off because actually a little bit of flavor went in, and that little bit of flavor now transferred into the bottom of the cheese and the bottom of the meat, and they're both, you have to scrape off, kedei klipa, take off a little bit of the cheese and the meat, okay? Now, I do want to say that even though normally we would say, this is a little, again, what I'm going to say now is a little complicated, but it's important to start to like, think this way, because we use this types of concepts all the time, that even though you would think that which one is going kedei kuloi when the flavor transfers to the whole piece is a big chumra, and when only goes kedei klipa is a big kula, right? It could come out that the case of kedei klipa will be a chumra more than the case of kuloi.
I know, because it's deraisa.
First of all, that klipa could be is going to be a shiloh deraisa because it could be a bit. But there's another point also. Let's say the bottom, okay. Let's say the amount of cheese is very minimal. It's not a brick of cheese. It's a slice of cheese, and the thing on top, or let's say the other way around, the brick of cheese. You have a huge brick of cheese, and you have a little piece of meat, a little piece of like a Frankenblank, a little hot dog thingy. Okay. Now that brick of cheese is on the bottom, and you put, and it's cold, and you put that little frankenplank boiling hot on top of that brick of cheese. So we're going to say tata gavar, and tata gavar, and you got to do klipa both. But let's say that let's say the brick of cheese was hot, and the hot dog was cold. So you're gonna say now the whole brick of cheese is treif, right? Because it's hot and tata gavar. But now I think about it like this: that hot dog, there's 60 times the amount of cheese as there is in the hot dog. So if the flavor of the hot dog spread to the whole brick of cheese, it's batel. So now it's all mutter. As opposed to if the flavor of the hot dog stayed in the klipa, there's no shishim, there's no 60 times the hot dog just in the klipa. Mm-hmm. So if it only went to the klipa, the whole klipa would be aser. If it went to kulai, then it could be everything would be mutter because there's no shishim, because there's not enough in the hot dog to aser the entire brick of cheese. So sometimes the kedei klipa would become a chumra more than the, depending on how much you have, okay? So that could happen. No, you never think, there's not going to be shishim in the hot dog, so that would be also right.
The case where the cheese is cold.
No, so the shishim is if the cheese is hot, so and the hot dog is cold, so the cheese will be melted because there's no kedei kulay.
Even the klipa,
you're saying. Right, pashas even the klipa.
Still,
right,
still
right, could
but
be.
The hot dog
is gone. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right,
so now.
You're anyway.
Oh right. So even right. Yeah. He's saying from last week, it's not worse than hadacha. You still have to do hadacha on the cheese, obviously. Okay. Rabbi Kivieka says even after you do klipa, you have to do hadacha. I don't understand what that means.
Both,
but
right?
Yeah, I don't know what that means because after you did klipa, it's already madiach. I don't know what Rabbi Kivieka is talking about. I've written down my shulchan aruch from last time. That's
whatever on top is still on top. Whatever actual mushroom.
I mean, even if it's batel b'shishim, it's not worse than two cold things that you got to wash off. Okay. 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 This is the background for the sugya tata gavar. Let's see the shulchan aruch inside. It looks like we're gonna continue this sugya next week. It looks like there's gonna be we're gonna have to finish the sugya next week. So let's see Siv Dalet inside. Basar v'chalav roischim, boiling hot meat and milk. Shinis arvu yachad, that got mixed up together. V'afilu basar tzoynen l'soich chalav roiseach. Even if it's cold meat, sadi aleph Siv Dalet. V'afilu basar tzoynen, even if it's cold meat, l'soich chalav roiseach. Cold meat into boiling hot milk. Oy chalav tzoynen l'soich basar roiseach. Or chalav tzoynein,
cold milk
into hot meat, hakol aser. Why? Mishum de tata gavar, because the bottom one, which is hot, controls the heat, and therefore the bottom which is hot controls the heat goes through kulay.
Just if we are dealing with chalav, then what is the bottom that's happening? Just gravity, it goes in. So what's the tata gavar?
Okay, so in a case of milk, there is a Rabbi Akiva Eiger that it depends how you poured the milk in. Okay, did you pour it all in one shot, or like your constant pour? If there's a constant pour of cold milk, so he says, of hot milk onto cold meat, but it's hot milk onto cold meat, it's a tata gavar, so only the klipa of the milk becomes aser. But every single drop of milk is that klipa now, because it kept on touching it.
Can't you see?
So it's not just one klipa. You don't say, Rabbi Kivieger says, if you're pouring, so, right, when you're pouring, you have a stream, the first piece of milk, you know, touched the meat, then it rolls off, and the next one behind it, and constantly the next one behind it. So Rabbi Kivieger says, in a case where you're pouring, every single part of the milk is aser, because there's a constant flow of kedei klipa.
All
the
milk.
Wait, when you're on there, you repeat them?
Okay, that's what I'm saying. 1 meter.
Okay,
fine. That's what they're saying.
Exactly,
that's the point. So you look at Rabbi Kivieger. Yes, that's what he says. Now, there's an important taz over here. If you look in the taz of Katan Hay, so the taz brings a point, and he says that taz of Katan Hay. He says, "Hainu dafka beisur machmas atzmoi." Avil imu iser balua eina yoite mechaticha lechaticha beloi roitev. Okay, this is a yisoid. So this is a yisoid. I may as well bring it out now. We'll come up again later. there's two types of isurim. Chazer, the whole entire meat is aser. But if you have meat that got in it yesterday, I made a mistake and I put my meat in my milchik microwave, and my milchik microwave is all dirty, and now my milchik, my meat is treif. Is there a difference between the treif of this, that the second piece of meat versus a piece of chazer? The difference is that the piece of chazer is aser because it itself is aser. The piece of meat is only aser because something came into it. It's called dara balua. Okay? Or let's say you have a piece of potato that has in it flavor from a treif piece of meat. Or you used a bad pot. You used a treif pot and you cooked a broccoli. So that broccoli now has in it treif, right? That's called iser balua. It's an iser which is inside the broccoli, but it's not the actual broccoli. Okay? So there's a concept that when you have two pieces of food touching each other, even though they can give flavor from one to the other, but they can't give flavor that they only have from the outside.
That they inherited.
Because only the flavor of the broccoli itself can go out into the thing next to it or on top of it or whatever, even if they're both hot. Okay? So if you have a boiling hot potato that you cooked in a treif pot, so that boiling hot potato is treif, but it's only treif because potatoes are fine. It's only treif because it has in it flavor from the treif pot. And next to it is a kosher potato. And they're both dry and they're touching each other. The halacha is that ein bliya yoytze mechaticha lechaticha b'loy roitev. You cannot give over flavor that you got from something from outside to something next to it, unless there's some liquid in between.
The liquid is a carrier.
The liquid helps transfer the bliya. If the meat, if you have a piece of chazer next to a kosher piece of meat, even without liquid, they could transfer flavor because it's its own flavor. It didn't get that flavor from the outside. But flavor that you get from the outside only transfers with liquid. So says the Taz, you have to say this whole sugya is talking about when the isurim or whatever we're discussing are machmas atzmai, which is you have a piece of meat and a piece of milk. But if let's say you would have, you don't have a piece of milk. Let's say you have, and we actually, this Shaila actually came. I was talking to Rabbi Friedman, he said someone asked him a Shaila with this Yisoid in it. That basically.
That's assuming, if course, the Basar Chol is his Machmas
Atzmai. Well, here we're talking about the Chol and the Basar itself, so, you know. No, but the Shaila that someone asked was that basically there was some Shaila with the onions, and the onion was cut with some sort of fleishig knife. So now let's say you have this onion, it was cut with a fleishig knife, and they put the onion onto a cheesy omelet. And they took off the onion before the onion got hot. So you say, tata gavar. Let's say it's off the fire. It's not on the fire. It's off the fire. Now does that trafen up the onion and the omelet? Because the omelet had cheese. So now, l'chaira, it could be that you can't do that here because to get bliya machmas atz, even though tata gavar, and therefore the eggs were hot, and you would try to say, well, the eggs are hot, then the flavor from the onion goes in. But the onion is not trafed. The onion only has the outside flavor.
Are the eggs rotem?
Very good, very good. Excellent point. So Rabbi Kiva Eger asks on this Taz, a bomb kasha. Says, Taz, I don't understand what you're saying. So you're telling me that if you have cheese and you have milk, you have cheese and you have meat, and there has to be that it's cheese and meat. It can't be, the Taz, that you have fleishika something and milchika something, because then it's not machmas atzmai. It's not, right? It's only got the flavor inherited from somewhere else. It's got to be the cheese and the meat itself. So implying that, let's say the bottom one was a fleishika potato. In this case, what happened? It would be mutter, even if the fleishika potato was boiling hot, and tata gavar. So if you did this case with a fleishka potato, the halacha would be different than if it was what it says here. This is only meat itself. So for Tim Kiger, it doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch that you put a slice of cheese on the meat. It says you put milk on the meat. So the milk is the right, Dave. So what do you mean that the flavor from the potato can't come out and trafen up the milchik? If the milchik was a slice of cheese, so then I understand. But that's not the case in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch's case was milk. So if you have a fleishka potato that's boiling hot and you poured milk on it, right? So then that milk now is rotev. So it should be able to take the flavor from the fleshka potato out into the milk, and then it should be a problem. So the milk should become treif. That's Rabbi Kiviger's kasha. And if you look at it, there's one line of Rabbi Kiviger, l'chaticha b'loi rotev, tamua, I don't understand. On the, it's on that taz. Tamua, ha-hocha, ha-ve-roitev. There's roitev. Kivin to tatarcham, v'goyver ha-cholov, mikri roitev. The cholov is roitev.
So,
now, but does it learn kimta? You can't know kimta in the Shulchan Aruch when he says cholov. So this is Rabbi Kiviger's kasha. Now, I'm just thinking now, we'll end with this. I'm just thinking now in answer to Rabbi Kiviger's kasha. As I'm saying it, Rabbi Kiviger says, he throws in his words here. Do you guys see it inside there, Rabbi Kiviger?
Yeah.
It says, Tamua, I don't understand. Ha-hocha have it right, if there is liquid, kivin the tatagavar, because tatagavar. Why is he saying kivin the tatagavar? He's saying like this. This roitiv, this liquid that you need, like the WD-40, you know, the liquid that you need to have between the two pieces, has to be a hot liquid. You can't use cold liquid for this. It's got to be hot liquid. So, Frekta B'Kivager, since the milk becomes hot from the Tatagavar, so now that boiling hot potato and milk, the milk becomes hot, now the milk is there, could take the flavor out of the potato. So maybe according to the Chavis Das, that's not true, because the milk never actually became hot. The milk is only enough that in the blias, but here it's only the blias of the potato itself. Not the, that's the whole taz, not the blias of the that's inside. And there's no roitiv because roitiv is only hot. Roitiv takes out blias, and it's not really technically hot. So maybe
a gush is called a
it's mevashel, but if it, what?
Can it be mevashel or not?
Only if the stuff became hot, it's mevashel. Not if it didn't.
If it's a
dover gush,
then it does.
No, it's mevashel if it became hot.
We're
talking
about both cases, though.
What do you mean both cases?
There's a task going on all cases where either the milk is hot or the meat was hot. That's the task going on.
Oh, you mean that to say that, let's say the milk was hot and you threw in a cold fleshka potato.
Right.
So in that case, yeah, that would be a good kasha. No, but but the task has the right to say his din. Yeah, he has the right to say his halacha because his halacha would be true in the other case. So anyway, akoponim, these types of cases of the taz are probably more shriach for us because we don't walk around with treif stuff in our house normally. Right? So normally the common case would be something that became treif from something else. Normally, or became basav chalav, or you have something, right? But that could be the case. That's more common by us. So according to the taz, the sugi of tatagav is only when it's machmas atzmai, not when it was bolu from something else. And that's fine. Okay, adkan.
If you have any ideas for us to look over during the week.
Yeah, I'll give you the chavis das.